question number or statement number four. How do you understand the statement of the First Vatican Council? Quotes, that meaning of the sacred dogmas must be forever retained, which Holy Mother Church has once defined. In other words, as we said, the Latin word for end or boundary, for example, well, that map of India, the light blue and then the white around it, those are the finis, the boundaries of India. And sisters, our language should have boundaries. In other words, when we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God, that statement of our sisters better be definite. You mean exactly what is contained in those words, like the boundaries of a country, the boundaries of a city. In other words, outside. Now, I could talk now for hours, but every sentence in every language is supposed to have a definite meaning. Well, if that's true, in general, it is especially true of our faith. Every sentence we speak as Catholics should be clear and definite. And over the years, in writing for publication, this is one reason why, in God's mysterious and undeserved providence, I have published so much. May the Lord have mercy on me. But I know how important it is to be clear and definite. We mean, and we know what we mean. We don't mean anything else. So much for that. And sisters, here's what I thought I would do. With your permission, I would like to Xerox these answers. And I will return them, of course, tomorrow. We're going into the city, right? And we're going to do some Xeroxing. Now, sisters, I am used to giving a lot of homework. A lot of homework. I have a bad reputation. But I want to spare you people. I did ask you, remember, for the other course, to read the introduction to Holy Father. And did I promise you I would give you a little quiz? Just a little quiz. It'll be very simple. And now, what I thought he would do here, sisters, there are119 questions and answers in this Catechism on Mysterium Fidei. I apologize for the terrible mistakes, including lowercase God. I don't want to even think who did the job. Whoever did the job, I'm grateful for that person. In any case, what I thought we would do, sisters, is use this in order to, for not necessarily the whole week, but as much of the week as we have time for, to concentrate on this. You have a copy of this? The History of Eucharistic Adoration. Because the last part of Pope Paul VI's Mysterium Fidei concentrates on Eucharistic adoration. And consequently, what I would like to do is go back into these questions wherever the subject of the Eucharist being the presence sacrament. Notice we've said before, Holy Eucharist is a sacrament three times over, as sacrifice, as communion, and as presence. And by the way, I really urge you strongly to read both the Doctrine of Holy Father, Mysterium Fidei, and the Sinner's Catechism. And here's what I'm hoping to do too. This will be published. Either, how many are you? 16 plus sister? 17. Is that correct? When it is printed, and I assure you, there will be no spelling mistakes or punctuation. I will have all of you receive one printed copy of the Catechism on Mysterium Fidei. For class, however, I thought we would concentrate on the Eucharist as the real presence. And here, sisters, you have this edition, I think so, The History of Eucharistic Adoration, Development of Doctrine in the Catholic Church. This short history of Eucharistic Adoration was ordered by Pope John Paul II. And the purpose was, as I think I briefly mentioned before, the purpose was to provide the delegates from some 40 countries who met for several days in Rome in preparation for the Eucharistic Congress in Seville, Spain in 1992. And I was there. I was told by the Holy See to be in Poland this year. So, what I do is beg money to make the trip to Poland, or in 92, to make the trip to Spain. And the purpose was, and in both in Wrocław in Poland and in Seville, Spain, the purpose was, those are my orders, to bring literature, including many copies of this,